regardless. We are the people that will give you praises regardless. Some other people will give you praise when everything is okay. Some will give you praise when you just had breakfast. Some will give you praise when you just brought it back and act. But we know without all this, but our praises will be hinged on you regardless. Regardless of how we feel. Whether we feel like praising or we don't feel like praising, it will be regardless. It will be regardless. It will be regardless. Regardless of how we feel, regardless of what's going on around us, it will be regardless of our age, it will be regardless of our class, regardless of what we have, what we don't have, it will be regardless, regardless. It will truly be regardless. It will truly be regardless.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want us to give a resounding hallelujah to the Lord. Wow. Amen. You're welcome. So what's the name?
Nicholas. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so today, hate. Now, the word hate itself is a very strong word. I personally, I always tell people that. And sure, you don't use the word hate in your vocabulary, for example, hate you. You know, who is joking? Whether playfully, jokingly, or seriously, the word hate is a very serious word. Yes. It's so serious that the Bible says the brother that hates his brother is a murderer. Do you get it? It's me, when I don't like something, I use the word dislike. I don't use hate. Hate is very, very serious. Do you get it? Now, I'm going to tell you, if you've always, if you have normalized it in your own vocabulary, you can always swap it with dislike. Oh, I dislike what you're doing. You know what time is? Someone who says, you may hate that now. You can use dislike. Now, I want you to create a top tier level for hate. That's what I'm trying to. Many of the things that you think you hate, you actually dislike them. You hate. Amen.
Amen.
And so, hate in itself is a it has a lot to do with the position of your heart. It's a reflection of your heart towards something. But not just a reflection of your heart. It is an extreme resolve that you don't want to have anything to do with that thing. Meaning, if you have the opportunity to contaminate that thing, you will. That's it. Now, despite this, most certainly you would maybe tolerate that thing until you can change the circumstance. Dislike is very, very, is more friendly, let me use that word, than. The way Boko Haram hates Christians, that's how it hates. So you can see what their hatred can do. It will kill Christians. You know, it's even said that there's a whole lot of sermon in the Quran that encourages hatred of infidels. And that's why you see what they do to people that don't believe what. That's why they can stone somebody in the name of, they said blasphemy. So that's a fruit of hatred. Do you get it? It's not necessarily. You can't just dislike, and the next thing that is in your mind is stone to kill. So, for example, what did you steal? Hatred for him. You know, and Paul was supervising him. I'm just imagining in heaven. I'm not even in heaven except for them. I think we read before that there are some people that he was going to ask questions about their dad and me. And you have viewed the way the school of spirits that was ministry for the poor. And it was the one that came to your house that night. He's going to take out your dad and mom. And so, it requires a lot of effort to be in that state. Many a times, it's a very serious matter to you. Amen. And so, when the Bible says these are things God hates, many a times you need to first of all ask yourself that, is it that if I do these things, there are any consequences? Or is it that God is just reminding me that he doesn't like this set of things? And how that. Maybe you can be a bit nice. The Bible says these are things God don't like. Do you get it? Maybe, but that word. That word hate. Can we see amplified? Okay, this the first verse 16. Let's just check a lot of it. It says these 6 things the Lord hates. That's the first part. Can we check in the ESV? English Standard Version. Amen. If somebody's already sleeping next to you, it's not the message, it's the blessing. Just tell the person that don't sleep. ESV also uses the word hate. Can you check maybe see the contemporary English version? Sorry? You don't have that. Oh, okay. Is that the one down in this one? Let's use the one we have. Yeah, but so we go back to NKJV. Or maybe KJV. KJV too will always be. It's men hate it. The main is present tense. You know the others is present continuous. It's yeah. I mean it's interesting to know that all hates. Do you get it? Now it's different from these are the things that we want you to do. See, now the thing is what we want you to do. If you don't do that, it's okay. Not like it's okay, like that. But, there's a power shop. This is not saying. Do you know the reason why you put an electric bag wire? It's because you hate power. And you don't care if you terminate or intruder. There's nobody that will say I dislike intruder. You hate intruders. You are just in your room and somebody has moved your phone. That's why you're always in your phone in the lab business. You just mistake your end message and you slip off. And then your message is crying. So people, you always listen to your message with caution. Don't get too much in the speed and you forget that the voice was there. Amen.
Amen.
And so it's quite interesting when the Bible says these are specific things that God hates. Now, if Bible said God hates sin and he loves sinners, I mean, God always said that God hates sin and he loves sinners. But this is very specific. He said many things. See, specifically, these are the things. Meaning, for example, if you want to know the things that God, let's say maybe the opposite of hate is love, right? Let's just show that. So let's say the things that God loves, doesn't even like, because love is so extreme, right? Mm-hmm. Probably even say maybe hatred is the extreme opposite of love. Do you get it? Just like the opposite of like is dislike, I think. Mean. But like and dislike are still very, they are mild. And that's what I'm saying. Before you say, I love you, it's not. Do you get my point? It's a statement that has committed it. Do you get my point? So that's what I'm saying. The example that I say, I know it's a lie. That's what I'm saying. You know what I know? What's one? My name is a liar. But even if there's one year, maybe it's 1 year. So it's hatred and love. They are two extreme words. You know, and that's why when it says God so loved the world, he did an extreme action. Do you get my point? So when God says I hate something, it's an extreme action that you don't think of your head. As I just say, God, this is why I think. Why is it part of this? Is like hate. That's not God. Let's check. Is it amplified? Let's check. You know, because it's also means amplified passion. So it says there are 6 things that the Lord hates. He now says, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. Now let me help you with this verse. So he says that there are six things that God hates. The seventh one is an abomination. So actually, there are seven things that God hates. Do you get my point? But the seventh one is like God ties up. After the eighth, you know, it's like abomination is hatred to power and infinity. Let me put that. He says there are six things. Is there fire here? But the seventh one is lake. You know, there's not to air fire.
Yes, sir.
How do you know? Yeah, that's it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sure you're already wondering which one that I need to be right first. Just follow me, huh? And so, it's not just about six, it's seven. Right? We'll see seven. It's in Proverbs 16, Proverbs from 17 down to 19 and 20. But what I'm just saying is, the seventh one is an abomination. Let's try to define abomination. Who knows what an abomination is? Want to try. Abomination. What's an abomination? Somebody try.
Abomination.
Have you heard of abomination? It's maybe in Hollywood. So literally, it can be synonymous with hate. Meaning, you can say an abomination is something that is forbidden, is hated. It's actually that synonymous with there's a change in communication. But I want to believe that they were trying to create a distinction here. I mean, if there's nothing special about the seventh one, you could just say these seven things the Lord hates. Do you get the point? But I'm thinking that there's a particular focus you should give to the seventh one. Do you get the point? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now we can see that there's someone in the Bible that says God hates something, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, God is the only person that has infinite mercy. Do you know God is the most reasonable person that you can ever think of. He's even more reasonable than you yourself. You don't need any excuse. It's just spirit of faith, huh? You know, when you excuse yourself, you break it with speed up one plate. When somebody else breaks your plate, you fight. That's what you're doing for yourself. Or even in some certain situation, you would not be reasonable with yourself. God is the most reasonable person that you can ever think of. You get. But these are some of the things that God says it, and I want us to just pay attention there. Can we start reading? So just open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 6. We start from verse 16 going down to 19. How many of you have already read the book of Proverbs before? How many of you have read the book of Proverbs before? Do you know that the book of Proverbs, or do you know the writer of the book of Proverbs and who it was written to? Who wrote it? Who did you write it to? Which song? Do you know who wrote Proverbs?
Yeah.
Give it to Solomon. Okay. He sent Solomon to his son. She sent David to Solomon, and because Solomon is son, Amen.
Amen.
Are you blessed?
Yes, sir.
or he gives what? Okay, no, let's go back a bit. Let's start from verse 1. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. So the early part was talking about people asking. It is ask and it shall be what? Given to you, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. So it was saying here that the reason why you don't have is because you didn't ask. And for example, don't be angry because you are sick and somebody else is not sick. The reason why you are still sick is because you did not ask for healing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So here it was encouraging that when you don't have something, don't fight the person that has it, but rather you ask, right? Many of us do not do this. For example, the years of the need to it, maybe want it. Instead of hating on that, fighting the person that they gave to it, rather you ask, right? This can I have another protein, so that you can see it. So that you see your shooter. Can I have another protein that has some fiber and zinc? Figures. And that looks like this meat. So he says, if you ask, you will not be fighting. Figure out what? You know, when you go to parties, the person they serve extra food, you are fighting the person. So that means the patriarch at least. I want more. When you're very young, that's all you ask for. I want more. Can I have an extra sweet, delicious plate? And you see, there's no way you can use that phrase, you will not do another. Do you get it? So it says people don't have because they didn't ask. And even say that some people go as far as fighting those that have, and they still don't ask. So let's go on. You ask and you do not receive because you ask what? I mean, this is another type of you asking. I think maybe the prayers could have also handled this, but so we're in verse 2, right? Verse 3. Since you ask and you do not receive because you ask what? I can hear us. You ask what?
Amen.
That you may spend it on your level. This is another level. You dig it? For example, you're saying, Father, give me 27,000. Thank you. And at times, you also ask because God has also seen a desire for you to expend it on your own time. Pleasure. For God to provide. So that I can buy something that actually will allow me to spend for your pleasure. Just go on. 4. Verse 4. Adulterers and. Wait, I actually connect this. Go back to 3. You ask and you do not what you receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Go on. Adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that what?
Friendship.
So you see how it opened up that other context. He called some people adulterers. He called the female version of these adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is what?
Enmity.
Enmity, but it means you are an enemy of God. That's what that means. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself what? An enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives what?
Grace.
Therefore it says, God resists the proud, but does what?
Gives grace to the humble.
So this one God does to a man with a problem, or a man, just as we define it, A man that is proud or a man that believes what?
No, you probably think that pride is not a big deal.
Did you know that out of many things that made Lucifer, which is now devil, right? You know, his name was Lucifer when he was part of the ghost of heaven. And one of the main reasons that made Satan, when he was Lucifer, fall is pride. You know, he said, what's wrong with this God? What's wrong with this God? He's the only one who can shout it. Holy. No, 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 he's about. Are you doing it? No, these are very small. No, no, no. These are examples. Why are you listening to this? Is it your business first? And so, devil orchestrated his fall because he tried him. Together. Now, as much as we know what pride is, you know, when somebody seeing ourselves in a position that is undue, or when the person wants an opportunity or a privilege over someone who doesn't have that privilege. Can you see? So both when you can be poor and proud. That's the first definition. Yeah. And the second one is you can be rich and be proud. So it's not pride, it's not for the poor. Or maybe the pride is first. You know, maybe it's the poor people that always say rich people are proud. You get it? So we that's a good thing. But there's no as much as we have rich proud people, we also have poor, wretched proud people. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you can see in James that the only thing God does to anyone that is proud is God himself is not doing the best. That's what he's saying. When, you know, when they bring a case to you, this guy, as we're rushing to put the Okada right into their car, yeah, as they were trying to carry him up, a thunderstroke. That one, God is doing. God is existing now. That one is dying. They were, so there's a thing called, it's not them that's doing this one. We have checked it back and front. It's God that is doing you. See, we don't want to be there. You don't want to be in a place where your problem is not solution. That's what it means to me. When he says God is doing somebody, where, okay, wait. Who will we solve the problem? Okay. Your brother is doing you, your mother can solve the problem. If your mother is doing you, your pastor can solve the problem. If your pastor is doing you, the elders in the church can solve the problem. If the elders are doing you, the angels, God can send angels to intervene. If the angel is not doing you, God can send cherub to come and intervene. If it's a cherub that is doing you, God can send Jesus to intervene. If it's Jesus, if it's Jesus that is planning to fall. Now that's what it means by saying God resists the power. The word resist in itself is a military term. It means it's God that will be opposing you. Don't make progress in life. It's God that will put left for you. No, that's what it means. It means like if anything is going bad to that person, don't go too far. It's better, it's fine for God's sake. It's not for good self. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know some of you are toying with pride, but you don't know the extent of what you're toying with. You know some of you don't know what you're toying with, but you have small sinkers. not allow an offense here. And one thing that was also not a sneaker. You won't allow people to have sneakers here. That's it.
This popular saying says pride goes before.
It's
is a true statement actually. It's not in the Bible, but it's in. You know, someone else said, you know, the Bible says Christ goes before it. It's not exactly that. A proud man. A proud man. There's one guy recently. The guy who wrote on his LinkedIn profile, this is he I never watched. And he used that profile to collect money from investors to start the company. Now that's a problem. You know, the definition of riches, when you put yourself in a position that you are not. When they found out that the guy didn't go to Harvard, when they found out that he did not work in Microsoft, when they found out that he did not work, can we go back to Proverbs chapter 6? The problem. Can you tell the next person to watch out for Christ?
Watch out for Christ.
Third person again, watch out for Christ.
Watch out for Christ.
Can you just read one interesting story of another proud man? I just came to mind that. It's in one of the parables of Jesus.
So he said,
So you don't get the question, right? But you answer yourself.
He said, so what is what I will do? I will pull down my pants and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, no, you know, if you need, let us hold that defense. Please. This is what every progressive human being should say. When you have a harvest, you can't keep it in your pants. You might not understand the use of this word, but you're just saying that when you, for example, they gave you 200,000. Normal human being should take 80% of it and save it. Now this is our contemporary explanation of what the Father God told his soul. He said, I will pull down my barns and build greater. Because he had a lot of harvest, right? And there I will store all my crops and my goods. He did not move further. He said, I will say to my soul. He's like, when you talk about the soul, why are you scared to what you think? And he said, so, you have many goods, laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But what does it mean? See, if you don't understand the ways of God, you would have gotten to where you should not get to before you answer asking God questions. But why did I get here? Why am I here? What happened? God is a very, very, very intentional God. Meaning, it's not like God killed him to just show that God can kill. No. There's a lesson here. The guy said, I'll tell my soul. Now that you now have all these things, I will eat, and I will drink, and I will marry. And God said to him, fool! Ni a chale. He said, see, I'll see your end. No, God did not say, I'll see your end. That's me who exists. It's not like, I'll allow someone to come and attack you. No, I'll attack you. He said, this night. That's so. You see that? See, God did not respond to his economic plan towards the crop. Then you build a bigger brand, right? You pull out the small one, build a bigger one, and the new harvest. Let's be more practical. Let's say the guy was planting corn, right? Then he had a lot of harvest. Then it was like, wow. And maybe the place is not real. Maybe the size of his barn is where you store, agriculture, you know what, storage devices in agriculture, right? Maybe you store the crop or your harvest. You get. So he said he would give a bigger one, right? That's logical, right?
Yes, sir.
It's not even a matter of was it late or was not late. It's the right thing to do. Do you get? You take steps allocation demands. If where you're storing something is small, for you to prevent moth and rot, meaning insects that will feast on the harvest, to destroy the harvest, to do something bigger to contain the new harvest. It's the right decision, right?
Yes, sir.
But that conversation moves from taking a right decision to self-appraisal. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
And don't forget, you are not the God of harvest. He is. He's the one that gave you rain. He's the one that gave you the seasons. But the guy forgot everything. And just said that I'm the beginning and the end. Yes. My soul, this is what you now do. I have a feeling that if that guy asked the question and waited, people would have given him the right answer. That's my own natural revelation. So many a times when you ask yourself questions, wait for what you answer. Don't answer yourself. Oh God, what shall we do? What shall we do? Oh, this is what we shall do. This is what we shall do. You are proud. It's a proud man that asks God and answers himself.
speak to me, God speak to me, God speak to me, speak to me, speak to me.
Oh, thank you, God.
No, you have to be sure it was not your soul
that spoke to you. Because if it's your soul that spoke to you, you left that place, you are.
So the guy said to himself, since soul will before you,
and God answered the soul.
Maybe a little patience here could have saved this guy. The reason was an old man that was about to die. This is a young, promising guy.
There are some places already in our house. This is a rich dude in our town. Oh God, 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 bring this man my way, bring this man my way. God said, if you do that, it's the best option. God will be doing. And so God gave him the answer that looks like what God is.
You know, it's something that is something that would come like this, like an extreme. It's like an abomination. You know, we commit an abomination in the land. You know, you just say bread. That's what they did to this guy. The guy just defined that. And he just truncated.
Let's go back to Proverbs 6. And we'll stop here. Because I just hope that we know today that God hates pride. Let's go back there. No, let's start from the 16. These 6 things the Lord hates, yes, 7 are an abomination to him. The first one is what? The one practical step that you should always take is whenever you're privileged, always say thank you, Jesus. You know, don't be in the traffic and you see the children that are not well dressed, and you tell yourself that, wow, we are trying all. It's my kind words.
Don't touch me, don't touch me.
Get it. When you have what others don't have, what do you do immediately? And you also thank him. Timothy, thank you. Thank you for all you're doing. God, I thank you. Because you can see it belongs to your soul. You know what is this rich man? What conversation happened where? The soul. That stops, right? Wasn't that guy took a physical step to prove to God? And God, you are not worthy of your grace. He was just in the place of, you know, he's like, what, this conversation just happened? I'm sure this conversation is like maybe like 15 seconds. This is not like he was thinking, the Lord was thinking, what will I do to you? What will I do? It's like, bam, bam, ish. What shall I call it? Push. As I said, see, whenever you see strength, see, you can't, strength things cannot be happening. Do you get what point? Many a times, you need to always look at your steps. Are you walking against, you know, that place in James? Are you in a position where God is existing? You want to travel, you want to travel. Well, you know that God has removed this arm from what they ever see. No, you have to try and work. We have to try and work with this arm. We have to try and work with this arm. No, okay, it's Libya. Okay. Let's try and be here. Just to run away. What is it? They will catch you at the same time. And I'll be the one to tell those guys to come and catch you. To come and catch you. Then they will not finally catch you. So, God, my story is like Paul and Silas. You know, no chain will break. No prison will set loose. And so, whenever you find yourself in a position that you're proud of, God, I'm sorry. I didn't thank you enough for this. God, I'm sorry. You know, at times some of you cry over the things you should not even cry over. Oh God. A man that is thankful and ungrateful person is a natural problem. Hallelujah. So whenever you find yourself in a place of opportunity, what do you say? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You don't even say it. You know, you don't say it like a Pharisee. You know the way Pharisees tell you. God, we thank you, we are not like these people. That's Pharisees.
Yes.
Thank you, thank you. God, I thank you. I'm not like this. That's a little become broken, bound down. But the Pharisees come like this. Thank you for anointing only us. That is Pharisee. No, that's not the type of thanksgiving I'm saying. I'm saying a thanksgiving that genuinely comes from a humble heart. You know, the Bible says, what does it do to be humble? It gives grace. So it's only the humble heart that can escape pride. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And so you thank God. You thank God. You thank people. You say thank you very much for explaining that. Because you don't want to say, you didn't do anything much. Then there was one lesson that I learned from a few years back. And I was wrapped up with this. So I always notice that there's this tendency that you could not do it. I mean, you had a problem. Maybe you were solving a problem at work. And you got stuck. I mean, for some people, pride is actually you not calling for help. Actually, pride is you spread on you nothing. Carry this nothing. Those dead artist colleague says, I'm stuck here. Now that's first pride. Now let me not tell you the second level of pride. You don't say, colleague, can you help? Then the colleague says, oh, fine, let's create a meeting invite. That will be, then that will be, say, no, because everybody's working in the office. Then create a meeting invite. Let's meet by 4 o'clock. Look at the issue. So I noticed this tendency where the person that's trying, the person you set up the meeting for, the person joins the meeting, right? Then the person is saying, oh, okay. Then you're explaining the problem. Now, second level, right? It's not that I don't know you too. That's right. You know, you escape the first one, you call the person out. The second one, it's not that I don't know you too. But you know, as for our relationship, you know, we're doing it. So let me not tell you all the days we're doing it, right? You didn't say the first one, you are acknowledging it, I mean, go for it. So come on, he said, then as the person was trying to teach you, you now saw something you know. Like, ah, ah, is that no? That's called the devil of pride. So the one that, so whenever I don't know something, after a while, I reach out. So that I didn't escape that trap. Then when I reach out, I don't say I know this one and I don't know this one. I don't see what I mean. I said, I'm trying to solve this problem, I don't know it. That's why I reached out, right? Then when the person comes out teaching, when the person comes, I say, thank you very much for coming. Actually, I did that. I'm emphasizing it again. I'm not creating a space for myself to say, ah, well, you know small, you know small. Call me alone if you want to. It's me that needs a solution. And so, I will say, then when I now see something I think I know, I will see, restrain love. I will restrain myself. I don't Then after I have lost, well, why did you allow me to just say what I mean? Because devil will give you opportunities to fail that test. Now I'm telling you what literally comes up at my own job almost every day. You are either blocked, you need to ask for help, you ask for help, the person that comes to help. Render the help. And this might even make mistake. I remember the one that happened, I think, about 2 years ago when we were trying to build a solution around COVID. I didn't know the thing. I reached out. Then the person that I now reached out to does not even know it. Is that what was? Like one more? And I know that was going to be back. Immediately, I just had that restraint. You were given that debt of money.
You were the one that needed help, not me. I won't provide the opportunity to know about our life. Do you understand? That's the way you can switch the place and you won't be out in life.
It's not just cross, it's not river. And when he goes, it's a cross.
Oh, they now cross things after. May I drive airplane? Just because I'm not learned how to drive boats. No. Say thank you for taking. Don't give the person the issue of what you can do. Did you understand what I'm saying? Oh, did I help you to solve that mass? Not greeting. Don't even say, no, when you need help for not greeting, you know you come at me. You were the one that needed help. How do you say thank you? Don't even see that was what I needed the papers. You know you don't prove that I'm not that dog. Is that what you want to get? You scared the first one. The second one, you're scared. That old one, a lot of people failed the test. Because I also failed the test. Scared. Things you can do now. Or you'll be hearing another voice again. You will not need help. Like, well, no, no, no. You will not need help. They came because of you. Don't miss that. See, that's what people miss God helping them. No one will say, ah, God, this is.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You don't have to pray that God will let me do what you need to make a decision. And I really pray that you will not be a victim of the opportunities the devil will bring to us to the problem. You will literally spot it and you would have a mechanism that converts opportunities to compensate. I'm serious, this is a telling thing. He's waiting for you at your workplace. That when you graduate school, this one that I explained last is the pit that devil successfully catches everybody. Every professional. And then who wants to be your low? Nobody, that's why they call you professional. Nobody wants to be the low, the lowly, the unknown. All of us should have our life. There was a place I found that I would never walk. The very long time ago, I heard from students that it's only first class to be hired here. But I thought that was the only thing. They only when I got a sense of how they manage themselves there. I don't want to mention the name before I was spoiled, the ambition of something. It's a very big company now. But if you talk about the amount, maybe they don't change. That was a long time ago. About 4 days ago. They said it's only first class they hired. Oh, it didn't stop there. That place has no cobweb, as in competition was like a hold. Even me, I'm not working there. It was like I want to prove a point. I'm not working here now. Why? The woman is sitting here. Why am I trying to prove a point? Somebody I came to visit. That's the people working in your company. We know it's so. That was a predominant spirit there. And I told myself, I would never work there. Even if they give me an opportunity, I would never go and work in a place where I have to not be in a place where somebody can help. He says, then nobody helps anybody because nobody wants to be the second. Nobody wants to be the second. And whenever you have the opportunity to set up infrastructures, companies, be mindful of not setting people up to be proud. Create a system where people can help each other. Did you understand what I'm saying? Create a system where this one can say this one helped me. See, if you create a system where this one cannot thank the other one publicly, it's a problem. You set up a key, you set up a facility that devil can employ. Where this one cannot say, thank you for saving me, that your backup was the one that broke. That's just safety. But when you want, everybody sharpshooter, you are shooting yourself. Nobody wants to be their own. You have to create this. Even in church, in house of God, you have to create it in a way where the weak is not looked down on. The strong is humble. The weak is lifted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
prayed for. You don't stress yourself. See, if you beat false, you don't know them. They are older people. It's not like Joshua and Mark this time. You might never have played that one in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, they are ancient traps that God will help us unravel in this Proverbs 6. And later, I want to tell you how it's connected to Romans 12 that I mentioned that this is the lesson of one message. And what I was saying was, the Lord bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.
If not, even though you are a Christian, you can still receive the bad judgment, especially his abominations. Are you there? Going to read is that the king of ladies is an abomination. I get that. Now, if a Christian is neutral on the issue of abortion, meaning that if a Christian's position on abortion personally, I don't like it, but you can do what you want to do. That Christian is an enemy of God. And yes, you must not be neutral on abortion. Just thought, no, it's not my business. No. It is your business. And so we need a kind of heart. Yes, sir. We need the heart that we hit it and we never agree with it. Two things. circumstances are not right. God has a purpose. Let the child that is entering this place. And so no human being has the right. No matter how inconvenience you feel, you don't have the right. And so that there is a record, you have to say, this situation is not for you. Come to church. Thank you. I guess I understand what I'm saying. This is the kind of heart that will keep you in this case. And this is what you must desire. Right? Iniquity. It's not just think of it as just